Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. God is always humbling us. God has humbled me plenty in the last few weeks. When I have been at my proudest about some ministry I've done, I learned later that I had far less to be proud of than I had thought. And then my sister visited last week. She has a degree in interior design, and I hadn't put up a lot of art waiting for her opinion. But when she saw the one wall that I had hung with art, she said, "No." Having been humbled, I know I have much to learn. Not every humbling may be God's will. I think of the humbling of those who have survived the recent hurricanes. They have been humbled, losing homes, belongings, roads, water, power. But sometimes God does bring about the humbling, like the humbling of the vineyard in the first reading, with the walls torn down by the owner, allowing weeds and thorns to overtake it, and animals to trample the vineyard. Then the owner, the Lord, commands the clouds to not rain on it. The vineyard is destroyed to the point of being fruitless. Not even wild grapes could grow in such conditions. That is a humbling. We find out in verse 7 that the vineyard is the people Israel. And we learn why the Lord chose to humble them. The Lord expected bloodshed. The Lord expected justice, saw bloodshed, expected righteousness, heard a cry. The laws set forth by God in the Torah and in the covenant called for people to be just and righteous in little ways and in large ways. The people may have obeyed the letter of the law, but they ignored the spirit of the law. The people who listened to the prophet knew that the Lord valued justice and righteousness above all. The Lord was looking for mishpat, justice, but saw mishpak, bloodshed. The Lord was looking for righteousness, zedakah, but heard Ze'aka, screams of terror. The Lord witnessed with the Lord's own eyes and ears the opposite of justice and righteousness. The bloodshed and the screams were the wild grapes that the Lord's vineyard of Israel was producing, not the juicy fruits of righteousness and justice that the Lord expected from having planted, tended, and cared for the vineyard for so long. The Lord's judgment was to humble the vineyard. God also humbled the Pharisee listeners of Jesus, who realized that he had told the parable of the owner of the vineyard, giving the wicked tenant farmers chance after chance. They knew it was about them. Scholars and commentators wonder who Jesus truly meant to compare to the wicked tenants. Perhaps it was the Pharisees, as they assumed. Others have suggested that it was Jews who did not have faith in Jesus as the Son of God, who rejected him as the cornerstone. Perhaps it was Christians of later times. Most of the commentators agree that any Christian could take the part of the wicked tenants by being untrue to the obvious will of God, refusing to give over to God the portions of our lives and allegiance that we owe to God and to no one else. At one time or another, we all refuse to give to God what is owed: our passionate faith and trust, a goodly share of all we have and all we are. We should all be humbled by these verses. God also humbled St. Paul, who in the second reading for today listed all the reasons he had to be proud. He had followed the Jewish law since the first of all 613 Jewish laws could even be applied to him. That is the law of circumcision that indeed happened on the eighth day of his life, as the law specified. Paul had been a proud member of the nation Israel, tribe Benjamin. He was not a convert to Jerusalem, but he had been born one. He was proud of his identity as a Pharisee, that is, a strict follower of God's laws. As part of his zeal for the Torah, for the laws of God, Paul had persecuted the Church of Christ. In this reading, Paul remembers how proud he was and all the good reasons for his pride. And he recalled that God had humbled him and even made him suffer. We remember from our readings in the book of Acts that on his way to arrest Christians, Paul met the resurrected and ascended Jesus, who confronted and blinded him. The Lord appeared to one of his followers, one of the targets of Paul's persecution, and when Jesus commanded him to go and heal Paul, this follower reminded Jesus that Paul was the one who had caused a lot of suffering for his church. Jesus answered, "I know, and he will suffer for me too. Nevertheless, you go and lay hands on him and heal him." And that newly humbled follower of Jesus did so. Paul was baptized and became a leader in the church, spreading the good news of God's grace in Jesus throughout the Mediterranean. He endured shipwrecks and imprisonments. In verse 8, Paul mentioned that he suffered the loss of all things. In spite of that, Paul celebrates those losses, for he has gained knowing Christ Jesus and having faith in him. Even though Jesus kept sending him to do hard things, to speak hard words on occasion, calling people to new visions of justice and righteousness, in which grace for the suffering has the highest value, In this reading, Paul even expresses the desire to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, which was a very hard death. Paul went from proud to humbled and ready to be humbled again. God will indeed humble us every day of our lives, for we are not all that. We are not people who do justice and act righteously as often as God desires. We mess up our relationships and our planet, not to mention how we place the art on our walls. Still, our God gives us chance after chance. Our Lord even sent the Son to people full of sin. When we are humbled, may we be like Paul, knowing Christ and willing to go through hardships to communicate Christ's grace poured out on all sinners. Amen.